2 Samuel chapter 9. David asked, "Is there anyone still left in the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They called him to appear before David, and the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" "Your servant," he replied. The king asked, "Is there no one still left in the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?" Ziba answered the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in both feet." "Where is he?" the king asked. Ziba answered, "He is at the house of Machir, son of Ammiel, in Lodabar." So King David had him brought from Lodabar, from the house of Machir, son of Ammiel. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, "Mephibosheth!" "Your servant," he replied. "Don't be afraid," David said to him, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." Mephibosheth bowed down and said, "What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" Then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, "I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and bring in the crops, so that your master's grandson may be provided for. And Mephibosheth, grandson of your master, he will always eat at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "Your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands his servant to do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah, and all the members of Ziba's household were servants of Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table, and he was crippled in both feet. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. I would like to make 4 points this morning from our text. The first point is I would like to discuss the nature of the relationship and covenant between David and Jonathan. And then secondly, I would like to speak about the condition which grace meets in Mephibosheth's life. Thirdly, the benefits of this covenant to Mephibosheth. And then fourthly, I would like to speak of the covenant benefits which we derive through Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful picture. First and foremost, this relationship between David and Jonathan. I think many of you remember their relationship. Your mind runs back into 1 Samuel when they met, and Saul was angry with David and jealous of David. And Jonathan, for some reason, took a real liking to David. He honored him, and even at some points in the text, it said that Jonathan loved him. And it said also that David loved Jonathan more than he loved, or the love which he had for a woman. He had a deep, deep love for this brother. And they made a covenant together. They made a commitment together. And they met together, and I think you follow the text in 1 Samuel chapter 20. You'll find that they met out in the field one day, discerning the Lord's will. And when they found out that David needed to leave, they bowed down, and they wept, and they hugged, and they kissed. That was back in a day when a man could kiss a man. A man could hug a man without anyone having second thoughts. I remember at Parents' Day at Wheaton College, when I was in college there, at halftime, I came out of the locker room and all my gear. There, my mom and dad stood, and I hugged and kissed my mom and hugged and kissed my dad. The love of a son for a father and a father for a son. It was natural to display it. I want to bring your attention to the idea that they established a covenant, not a contract. Now, for every wedding I perform here, I almost always speak of the difference between a contract and a covenant. And it's important to the text as well. Because a contract is usually put in place to protect from another person. Let's say I rent an apartment from you, and you say it's going to be $1,000 a month. And I say, fine. And you say, as long as you pay your $1,000, you can live in the place. And I say, well, fine, well, if I'm going to live there, I want a place that's in good order. And we kind of protect each other from each other in case we default on the contract. It's usually you're trying to protect your rights. You're trying to make sure everything's okay for you. A covenant is different than that. A covenant is actually an agreement between two parties where the two parties give themselves to each other unreservedly and forever. In other words, they're not looking to protect each other from one another. They're giving themselves to each other. And even in the responsive reading, you saw where David and Jonathan said, forever, between our houses, our descendants, let's love each other. Let's take care of each other. The Lord as our witness. So these gentlemen had entered into a covenant. The second point I would like to talk about is the condition which grace meets. And we find Mephibosheth. Now, one of the reasons I did that scripture reading is because there's some tricky words in there. It's always scary for a layman to step up and Mephibah something and, oh, wait it for yourself. It's a little intimidating. But I want to talk about Mephibosheth here because Mephibosheth is an interesting guy. If you know your Bible very well, you know your mind kind of runs back to 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4, where Jonathan and Saul were both killed in battle. And remember, Mephibosheth was born a prince. He was born into that royal household. The moment the handmaiden for Mephibosheth found out that both Jonathan and Saul were killed in battle, she picked him up and she ran. She was going to hide him. And in the process, she fell. And Mephibosheth fell to the ground. And he was lame in both his legs. Now, the reason she did that is because she was afraid of the new king. It was typical in that day that when a new power came in, they would find out all of the male relatives of the previous king and they would slaughter them. Now, it's interesting in this text to find that there are two things mentioned twice, one thing mentioned four times, and thus my outline. One of the things mentioned twice is that for Jonathan's sake, David honored Mephibosheth. That's point number three in the outline. Another thing in the outline is twice it says Mephibosheth was crippled or lame in both feet. That's why point number two is the condition grace meets. We find Mephibosheth lame in both feet. And then lastly, four times in the text is mentioned that Mephibosheth will eat at David's table. So we'll end the outline with that point. Now I want you to think about Mephibosheth. He lives in Lo Debar. I promise you, if you've been on a Jerusalem tour, they didn't take you to Lo Debar. They didn't load up the Mercedes bus and hand you a sandwich and drive to Lo Debar. Lo Debar is a terrible place. It's hot there all the time. It's in the plains. It's just nearly uncivilized. And people who wanted to hide from someone would go there. Guess where we find Mephibosheth? In Lo Debar. He's hiding from the king. Because he thinks the king is going to kill him. And so he's away from the king. He's antagonistic toward the king. And he's afraid of the king. That's a three-point outline if you're taking notes. Away, antagonistic, afraid. And when David summons him to come to the palace, guess what? Mephibosheth does not get excited about that. Woo-hoo, we're going to see the king. He goes in, carried in, and he expects the king to kill him. And instead of killing him, the king wants to be his friend. The king was best friends with Mephibosheth's daddy, Jonathan. And for Jonathan's sake, David loves Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was a person who was in great need. He was a person who could not even walk. He was lame physically, and he was afraid of the king. Now, the turning point of this text, for me at least, in study, came when I saw one Hebrew word. It's the Hebrew word hesed. And I know that word. And some of you know that word. When it applies to God, it's the word that's used for covenant faithfulness. When it discusses a relationship between people, it's a word that's used, it's translated unfailing love. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 22, it says, "What else does a man desire but unfailing love?" Isn't that what we look for in our marriage and our relationships? Unfailing love. And that's the word that is used in this text. It says that David had unfailing love for Mephibosheth because of his covenant relationship with Jonathan. And David did three things for Mephibosheth. He first of all became his friend. He said, "I don't just want you in the palace. I want to see you every day. I want to be your friend." Mephibosheth goes from thinking he's going to be slaughtered to realizing the king is going to be nice to him. Now, if that ever happens, if a person is especially nice to you when they have something against you, you might check and see if they're running for political office. Because it's not normal. It's unnatural. But David wanted to be Mephibosheth's friend. Secondly, he gave Mephibosheth all of Saul's inheritance. Could you imagine how much inheritance that was? We're not talking about a little piece of property at the corner of somewhere and somewhere. All of Saul's inheritance. He gave to Mephibosheth. Not only that, he gave him Ziba, who happened to have 35 men, children and servants, who took care of everything that Mephibosheth needed. See, you give a large lot of property to a lame person, that doesn't do them a lot of good. They need help. David, in his kindness, in his unfailing love, in his hesed, he provided all that Mephibosheth needed. And then lastly, he says that, "I want you to eat at my table every day." Now, that doesn't just mean they carried Mephibosheth in for breakfast and then carried him out and carried him in for lunch and carried him out, carried him in for dinner, carried him out, carried him in for a snack at midnight and carried him back out. It's deeper. It's euphemistic. It means, "I want you to be with me. I want you to know that everything I have, I'm giving to you." It means you don't need anything anymore. If you have a need, I'll take care of it. That's what David said to Mephibosheth because of the covenant that he had with Mephibosheth's father, Jonathan. It is not a large leap to begin to realize that this is a snapshot of God's grace. The word hesed is a pregnant word. It is great with child. It is El Nino, which is the way that the Spanish culture refers euphemistically to the Christ child. El Nino in Spanish is the Christ child. This is filled with El Nino because I want you to think about the covenant promises that we find ourselves under and the benefits we derive from God the Father's covenant with God the Son as applied to our hearts by God the Holy Spirit. Do you know many of us right now, if you were here last week, you left this place feeling like Mephibosheth before he met King David. Because we talked about self-righteousness. The sermon was aimed at one person, and he happened to be in the pulpit last week. And some of you got to listen. And God, in the power of His Spirit, I trust, applied that message to many of our hearts, and we went away convicted, condemned, if you will, of our own arrogant self-righteousness. And we find Mephibosheth, a poor, needy sinner, And I want you to notice in the text that it says King David sought him, he found him, and then he went to get him. Isn't the picture of salvation? What benefits do we derive because of the covenant relationship that Jesus Christ has with God the Father? I would return you to the text. I would say first and foremost that Jesus Christ is now our friend. We would stand before His throne as His enemy unless Jesus Christ interceded on our behalf. And when we come before His throne, we would have been, and many of us still will be afraid when we come before His throne for judgment. But Jesus Christ is now our friend. Our judge is now our friend. Hallelujah. Secondly, He gives us a huge inheritance. Do you know that whatever Jesus Christ has is now ours? It says that in Him we have every spiritual blessing. Jesus Christ is saying to us, you have nothing to worry about. Everything I have is available to you. And some of you might step back now and say, you know what? Jesus is not making it available. Jesus must be working in another continent this morning because I'm dying here. We want to live our lives in just those clear lines. No gray. We either want it black or white, no gray. Sometimes the Lord places His hand upon our lives and He, in some sense, He squeezes us. And in a way, He hurts us. And we say, God, what are You doing? I love You. I follow You. My children follow You. My husband, my wife, they're following You. Lord, why are You doing this? He places us in the gray. And those are the times when we rely on faith in God's character. We say, Father, I know I'm a sinner. I don't think I've done anything in particular that I haven't repented of. Why do You have me in this place? No. That all the resources that are found in Christ Jesus are with you. The parents of teens class, we're going to take the next 6 months studying the book of Ephesians to learn what it means to be in union with Christ. I think it's the key issue in the New Testament. What does it mean to be unified with Christ? Do you see, in the text, He doesn't just say, I want you to come stay at my house. We've all had people stay at our homes. And we've all fed people at our homes. Come stay at my house, we'll do dinner, and then you leave on Monday. You go back home. And it's like we put up with them for 3 days, and we acted like we liked them, and sometimes we actually enjoyed them. And we had this give and take, and then they left, and we went, man, this is so good now. Oh. God doesn't do that. God becomes our friend in such a way that He brings us into His presence. Not only that, He endears Himself to us. He becomes our friend. How many friends do you have? Do you have a lot of friends? Do you have a lot of people who offer you unfailing love? Me neither. In Christ, we find all that is necessary for our existence. He becomes our friend. He gives us a great inheritance. Could we talk about that for a few weeks? The great inheritance we find in Christ? And then He feeds us daily. This, of course, could be used wonderfully for a communion text. He feeds us. We feed on Him physically. We feed on Him spiritually. He is everything to us. I took a trip this summer, which I do not recommend to many of you, because I like most of you. We traveled to Chiapas, Mexico. Chiapas is the place down near Guatemala where they're having tremendous problems with fighting between the Indians, more or less, and the government in Mexico. And you're not supposed to go there. And so we went there. We flew to Mexico City, and then we flew to Oaxaca, and then we took a bus 12 hours into the mountains of Chiapas. And the reason we went is because we have friends there. And they took us and they took care of us. And we played in Chiapas. It was marvelous. The first day we got there, they took us to a ranch. And we're looking around the ranch and we got to ride horses and swim in rivers and do all kinds of fun things. But I saw this really big pig. It was tied to a tree. And I'm like, look at that pig. The thing is gigantic. And I'm talking to the guy, Cesar, and we're talking about this pig. And I go, what's it eating? And he says, aguacate. I said, your pig is eating avocado? Do you know what we pay for that in the States? You're feeding your pigs avocado? And he points up to the tree, and it's an avocado tree. Avocado's all over the ground. I'm just thinking, man, if I had some chips, I'm set. And what happens is, I kind of start putting the needle to him a little bit. Thinking, man, you can get a buck a piece for those. And I wonder if I can get those in my suitcase. Well, how could I do this? I mean, what's going on? You're feeding a pig. I'm needling pretty hard. And he looks over at me because he's thinking, I'm thinking he's dumb. You know that feeling. Some of you are married. You're thinking, you know what's going on. And he looks at me with a little grin on his face, and he says to me, tomorrow we eat the pig. And I thought that was pretty good. And you know what? That pig tasted pretty good. If you're going to raise pigs, feed them avocados. The meat is very, very tender and sweet. You might think, wow, what an experience. How'd you get that experience? I got that experience because I have a relationship with the Carrion brothers. And they took me. And I got to go. Do you ever have those experiences? You're sitting in box seats and you're like, man, I'm in the boxes. This is great. I can like see the players. They have numbers. I didn't know that. This is amazing. I'm close enough, finally. You go, how did I get here? Well, I had a friend of a friend who had a friend who had some corporate money, or somehow you ended up there because of who you know. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's who you know. It is who you know in the kingdom of God that makes all the difference in your life. God the Father, before time, covenanted with God the Son and loosed the Holy Spirit to apply that covenant in our lives. Covenant, don't let it throw you off. It's a promise that won't be broken. God promised that those he called, he would save. And when he called us, we were lame. We could not walk. We could not enter the kingdom of God. God had to do a great work in our lives. And he has. And do you know what's interesting? Even now, for some of us who are saved, we are still lame. We still stumble. We still fall. We still sin. We wrestle even with ourselves, knowing who we know and knowing who we belong to. But isn't he a great God? He provided 35 servants to take care of Mephibosheth's inheritance. And he has supplied the Holy Spirit, his word, our brothers and sisters in this room, that we would care for each other as we're on our way to heaven, enjoying the benefits of the covenant promise because we are friends of Jesus Christ. May he bless your soul with that good news.